And I want to begin reading from just a few verses I have here, but I want to begin from verse 11. From verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, from verse 11. But the focus of our talk this morning is going to be on verse 14. But to give it some context, let's begin from verse 11. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, and when you notice that verse 13, he says, when I shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Our topic this morning, conditions to receive healing and restoration. Conditions to receive healing and restoration. As we continue on our theme of 40 days of prayer theme, after we took 2 weeks break for our Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday services, but we are back on our topic of prayer. So the conditions to receive healing and restoration. We live in a broken world, a fallen world. Sin has scarred and damaged everything in this world. Everything is broken because of sin. Sin has left collateral damages in its wake. Started all the way from the Garden of Eden. It left collateral damages because everything is broken and messed up. Like a Category 5 hurricane ravishing an island caught unprepared, sin has left devastation. When we look around our country, you would agree that we need national healing. But we need more than just healing and restoration in our island, in our city, but we need it in our homes. For our homes, oh, our homes are dysfunction. Our schools. We need it in our communities. We need healing and restoration for our families. Broken families. We need healing and restoration, yes, in our churches. Because of schism and divisions, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Now, he wasn't talking to us. He was talking to the church at Corinth. Said, mere infants in Christ, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? He was talking to the church at Corinth. But we need healing and restoration in all of these areas of our lives. Spiritual healing. Emotional healing, physical healing, relational healing. And so this morning we are looking at how do you pray for healing and restoration. About 3,000 years ago, God made a promise to King Solomon. And that promise still stands today. Because the promise was not made exclusively to Solomon. But the promise was made to all of God's people, including us. And that promise was, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Now I want you to notice that this promise is not to everybody. This is a promise to God's people. If my people. And I also want you to know that there are conditions to be met. With every promise, there is a premise. With every promise, there is a premise. There are conditions to be met. God, in essence, says, now listen, I'll do this, but here are the conditions. Here are the premises before the promises. And so what do you need healed and restored in your life? What is it? Is it your marriage? Is it your health? Is it your emotions, bruised and scarred? Is it your relationships? They're fractured and broken. Is it spiritual? Is it physical? What do you need healed and restored in your life? I don't know, brothers and sisters, what needs healing in your life, but listen, the principles in this passage that we have just read apply to every area of healing and restoration. The same principles applies. And so what's the first condition that has to be met? First condition is, admit that you are not in control, and that is called humility. Admit that you are not in control. It's called humility. If my people will humble themselves, if my people, it's called humility. Humility is the first step to healing. So we don't approach God arrogantly. We don't approach God disrespectfully. We don't approach God flippantly. He's not the big man upstairs. When I hear that term, I cringe. But you don't come arrogantly before God. You don't come demanding. God is not your servant. He is not our genie. If my people would humble themselves. Humility is a choice. It's a choice. You don't pray for humility. It's just something that you do to yourself. It's a choice. When you read the scripture, it keeps saying, humble yourselves, humble yourselves, humble yourselves. You do it yourself. It's a choice. Psalms 35 and 13, the psalmist says, I humbled my soul with fasting. It's a choice. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Humility is a choice. And also, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Let me say that again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. So don't go saying, I am humble, I am a nobody, I am a nothing, I am so bad, I am... That's false humility. It's just not always thinking, you walk into the room, you walk into a group, you walk into a party, and you think, oh, how I look. God doesn't bless people who secretly thinks they're better than anyone else. He doesn't do it. James 4:6 says, God resists, opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. You talk about pride. It was like the church at Laodicea. That church, they thought they had everything together. They were proud, man. And listen, the self-satisfied does not need to pray. The self-satisfied does not need to pray. The self-sufficient does not want to pray. And the self-righteous cannot pray. So humility begins with humbling yourselves. It begins with admitting, I can't do it on my own. Lord, I need you. I am not in control. I need you. The second condition, if you need healing and restoration, ask God for help. That's pray. If my people will humble themselves and do what? And pray. Pray. And you pray with confidence. You heard it earlier. Pray with confidence. We pray knowing that God invites us to come to Him. He wants us to come to Him with our needs. And listen, God in His own sovereignty, He knows exactly what we need. He knows our needs before we even ask of Him. But yet still, He says, come and bring our needs to Him. I don't understand, God. I cannot explain God. I can only experience God. He knows what we need. Yet He still wants us to come and bring it to Him. Ask. Scripture says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Come with confidence, man. Pray with confidence. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. He knows what our needs are, yet He wants us to come. Last night, Glennis isn't feeling well. I prayed for her last night, and I prayed for her, and I expected her to get well. And then she still was feeling the same way after I prayed. Man, I was getting mad. Wow, you don't know how powerless it seems, it feels. God, I'm following your word. This is what you've said. ask, it shall be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. And that's what I am doing and doing and doing. And I'm not seeing any change. Until she managed to fall asleep in this morning. There it is again. And I prayed this morning again. And I expected it to happen. She still had the same symptoms. But God says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock on heaven's door and keep on knocking. God knows everything. I can't explain God. You say, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find grace to help in your time of need. Man. And I reminded him of the scriptures. And then in James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. My goodness. There's something lining up right there. But I cannot explain God. I can only experience God. Pray with confidence. God is waiting for us to come. He wants us to come. And keep on praying till God tells you to stop. Let him cut you off. Let him tell you to stop. Keep on praying until God tells you to stop. You see, you don't just pray one time and say, well, forget that. You keep on praying, you keep on praying, you keep on praying because God's timing is just perfect. You don't know when it's going to happen. Sometimes God does healing and restoration instantly. Sometimes he does it in a day, sometimes a week, sometimes a month. Sometimes it takes years. God is responsible for the answer. We are responsible to ask. To pray. So the conditions for the promise, admit God, I need you. I can't help myself. I'm powerless. I am not in control. Then I ask God for help. Pray. Then comes the third condition. The third premise for the promise. Seek God, not a miracle. Seek God, not a miracle. If my people will humble themselves and pray, and do what? Seek my face. It's okay to want the miracle. It's okay to want the healing. It's okay to want restoration. But that's not what you seek. If my people will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, not seek a miracle, not seek a sign, not seek a healing, not seek prosperity. Stop seeking the gift and go after the giver. That's what he's saying. Go after the giver. God, I want you. I want to know you. Go after the giver.
when we go after the giver, when our hearts are running hard after the giver, everything takes a different perspective. Everything takes a different perspective. God, I want you. I want to know you. I don't just want to know about you. I don't just want people to tell me all about you. I want to know you for myself. I don't just want to read in the book about you. Read about this, the books that men of God, women of God, who walk closely with you, they experience you in a real dynamic way. They wrote books about you, and I buy the books to read. That's not going to do it for me. I need more than the reading of the books. I need to know you for myself. You are my Abba Father. Just like the guys and the ladies who wrote the books. You were their Abba Father too. You're my Abba Father too. I want to know you for myself. Go after the giver. Let us not be satisfied. Man cannot live by bread alone. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what we live on. God sustains us. His breath gives me life. But I have to be in his presence. I have to find him. I have to know him. There's no option for knowing God. So seek my face. Because when you see God, you've got to get everything else. You know, there are millions of believers, Christians, who spend all their time seeking what God has to give them and not seeking God himself. You see, when we see God's face and not God's hands, we are saying to God, whether I get the answer I want or not, I want to know you. Whether I get the healing that I want or not, God, I want you. Whether I get the restoration I want or not, God, I am seeking you. And as I come to you, if I don't get what I think is best for me, I am going to be satisfied with what you think is best for me. Seek his face. God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. Earnestly. And this is not some casual pastime. Earnestly seek him. This is not seek him in my spare time. This is earnestly seek him. This is not seek him after we have watched all of our favorite TV programs and then decide to seek him. This is not to seek him after the games are all finished on TV and then seek him. No, earnestly seek him. This is not seek him after I have exhausted all the Facebook feeds, the social media, and exhausted all of those forward stuff. Then we decide to seek him. Like it's some low priority. I'm reminded the Old Testament. When the people of Israel, they brought God sacrifices. They chose the animals that were lame, or the animals that were blind, the animals that they did not want. They brought for their sacrifice, for their worship, animals that were blemished. God says, don't bring me that stuff. God said, take it to your governor.
Right now.
See if they want it. For I am a great king.
Oh, yes, he is.
We sang the song, you deserve it. He deserves our best. The best of our time. The best of our gift. The best of our service. He deserves our best. Give him our best. Earnestly seek him. It's a serious pursuit of God. And it's to be the primary focus of our lives. God, I've got to know you. Because you made me to know you. But God will not reveal himself. Listen, he will not reveal himself to the casual seeker. It's too precious. What he has to offer is too precious. It cannot be for the casual seeker. That's why he says, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. He do not cast pearls before swines. That's how Jesus talked about us. Okay? Just to emphasize the fact that the preciousness of God is so valuable, it will cost us something. It will cost us something. God goes overboard for people who seek him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be given to you as well. He goes overboard. But you know what we want? We want just enough of God to bless us, but not to change us. And that's so sad. Psalms 14:2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks him. God looks down at the whole human race to see if there's anyone who truly seeks him. In essence, he is saying, you know, most of my children are not seeking me. We want just enough of God to bless us, but not to change us. So the conditions to receive the promises, the promise of healing and restoration are, one, admit I'm not in control, I'm powerless, I need God. Two, ask God for help. Pray, man. 3, seek God, not a miracle. And finally, 4, turn your attention from the world to the Word. Turn your attention from the world to the Word. They're speaking about repentance. If my people, called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. That is talking about repentance. It's talking about a change of mind, a turnaround. When we think about the word wicked, we think about evil, we think about murder, we think about rape, we think about torture, wickedness. That's what comes to mind. But wickedness in this context is speaking about forgetting God. It's speaking about drifting away from God. It's speaking about worldly living. This wickedness in this context. God is saying, listen, and just as he said it in Revelation 2 and 5, he's saying here, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He said, return to your first love. That's what he is saying here. Return to your first love. Whoever conceals, Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them find mercy. And when we meet the conditions, brothers and sisters, the premise for the promise of healing and restoration, humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. God says, you will have what I promise. That I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask the team to come. Let me invite you to stand also at the same time. God has been speaking to us. He's been speaking to us as a congregation of people. And he's been speaking to us individually in this place. He's been speaking to us. Healing and restoration is needed in God's body by God's people. God was addressing his people.
He was speaking to his people. Just like he is speaking today. He's looking down from heaven, even in our little congregation here. To see who is wise among them. Who would seek God. He's saying that I see and I look among them. And I see the wounded. I see the lost. I see the battered and the bruised. I see the forgotten. I see the left out. I see the least. God is here to heal and restore. He's here to transform lives, to give us a fresh start and a new beginning. Whatever it is in your life, this alters the place. It begins with just your step of faith. God has spoken to you. Take a step of faith and walk to these altars. Meet us here. We pray with you and we pray for you while the team sings its final number. God has spoken to you today. Come forward. Let's pray together. Let's touch each other's life. Let God touch us at these altars this morning while the team sings this final number. Oh, Jesus.
It's all I've been saying.
was speaking to us. Thank you for the challenge, O Lord, but we want to be changed. We don't want to leave this place the same way we walk in these doors. But God, we are tired of church as usual. We want more. We want more. We want more. Thank you for drawing to you, Jesus, drawing you closer, for drawing, God, even as your name is lifted up. Thank you. Say, young man, I call you because you're strong. I call you. And you can serve the purposes of God in your generations. God bless those that respond. God, even as they took the first step of faith, you met them at their points of need. Thank you, Lord. Bless them. Thank you for the commitments and resolutions being made here this autumn. Grant them grace. Thank you for your people in this place, oh God. God, your people that you love so dearly. Let your presence, oh God, cover them. Let your word, oh God, take root in all of our hearts. May we not be the same again. God, we thank you and give you praise this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 To sit at your feet,
drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against surrender, feel your heart beat. His love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I'm reaching your peace, so
Father, we thank you for the God you are. You are the great I am. And Almighty Father, not one thing in this place, O God, that we deserve today. But, O God, it is only the grace and mercy that you have afforded us today, that you have blessed us with within this place. That Almighty God, that each and every one that came up to this altar call today, O God, is leaving in this place transform and change today. And so, God, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We praise you, Almighty God, for what you have done in this place today, that you are the same God yesterday and today and forever. Your love is everlasting, O God. Heavenly Father, I pray as each and every one leave this place today. May your joy and peace, Heavenly Father, rest in the heart with each and every one today, O God. Even though, Heavenly Father, as they leave this place, God, that things may not seem the same, Heavenly Father, but we stand on your word, O God, and that by the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary, that everyone in here today, I plead over, that they are healed, Heavenly Father, and that they